And so one of those aspects is the next part, which talks about God speaking. Mm. If that were the end of the Christian story, it would be a pretty rotten one, right? You know, it's the idea of kind of this deism of God, you know, winds up the clock, says, oh, you ruined it, and I'm out of here. I'm going to the next universe or something like that.
That's right.
But in order to grasp the good news, what the Bible calls the gospel, right. Maybe you've heard of it. Yeah, we need to understand the bad news with which it contrasts. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, before we get to the good news, we need to appreciate another defining element of the Christian worldview. The God who made the universe is also the God who speaks. Wow. So the Logos is an important aspect. We see it in John 1, and it mirrors what we were looking at with respect to Genesis 1. And it's a continued revelation from God. So
yeah, we're reminded of that Francis Schaeffer book. He is there. He is not silent.
Right. Yeah. It should be. And the third book is, and he's angry. Yeah. Oh no, that's Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay. And I don't think that was Schaeffer.
Yeah. Either. No.
The Christian worldview also affirms that not only that God is intimately involved in this creation, but also that He relates to us by speaking. Mm-hmm. Right. He speaks to us. The Bible acknowledges that God has spoken to human beings in various ways throughout the ages, right? So most of his common way of speaking, however, and the main way he uses to speak is what our author says, through divinely inspired prophets,
right?
Who serve as the intermediaries between God and his people, mm-hmm. right? So that's the basic way that he's suggesting that God speaks to us. And so he's going to use that as a definition. We'll see, you know, about what revelation is all about.
Right. And so you have people like Dawkins and others kind of in that camp that say, oh, you know, if God were to exist, it would be as if it would be us talking to the ants. Mm. Well, both of us and the ants are created beings. I'm assuming that if we created ants, we'd find a way to communicate with it, just as we do with computer programs and our robots that build our cars and hopefully we don't AI destroy us.
You know, kind of analogy would be us speaking to our computers, which we do,
right?
Something we created, right? We didn't create ants.
Why wouldn't we have the ability? Like, you know, it's just a bunch of ones and zeros, just as that kind of parallel of, oh, something so big talks to something so small.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you're the creator of it, wouldn't you put in a means of communicating.
Yeah,
and so that's what we...
I tell my car when I want to go faster. Right? I just push down that, you know, and I communicate with my phone,
right.
But still, or sometimes with my, you know, my thumbs on my cruise control,
right.
But I communicate with it,
right?
Yeah, so it was created by us.
Yeah, so I've never understood this idea. And also, having an understanding or trying to posit a God figure that you have no understanding of, that you say, well, he couldn't communicate with us. Where do you get that idea from? I've just created a God that can't communicate. Okay, congratulations, Dawkins. Yeah. We have a God who says he does communicate. Right, so let's try and stick with the facts at hand there. So a central tenet of the Christian worldview then is that God has communicated through divinely appointed prophets who have the authority to speak the word of God to their fellow humans. So we saw this in the Old Testament. We saw it with Moses and then Aaron and various establishments of both the prophets and the priests. So the prophets are there to communicate God's word, the prophecy speaking on on God's behalf, and then the priests are there to carry out the duties that God has set in place. Mm. And then it carries over, and we see that with Michael J. Kruger's book, where he talks about, that the New Testament is just a continuation of the Old Testament. So it's not an interruption. It's not a different kind. It's the apostles were appointed kind of the prophets to take place once they were imbued with the Holy Spirit. Now let's make a connection then between the idea that God speaks and the Christian understanding of the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. So he speaks. And so the Christians say that, you know, the simplest way to put this is to say that the Bible is a collection of divinely inspired prophecies. So there's the connection there between he's speaking through prophets and how it's connected to the Bible. Right. So these are divinely inspired. The Bible is a collection of divinely inspired prophecies. words from God, right, given through prophets, which have been written down and preserved as inspired scriptures, right? And so that's why Christians call the Bible the Word of God.
Right. 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 And so, yes, these nomadic people that eventually settled down and also were an oral culture also had a development of writing and language and their own language. And, there's been works done on both the Hebrew spoken language and then just the dedication to the written word that they had. And you see it with, I've gone and seen the Dead Sea Scrolls that even those that weren't connected, completely with the temple still had an immense reverence for things like the Tetragrammaton, the sacred name of God, where, you know, they go and they get a different pen and different ink and they wash and do this thing. And the way that their language is structured is, you know, if you have this many lines, then you do it there. And if you made one mess, you burned it up and you started over again. So, you know, this idea that...
Be careful.
it's just, people passing down the oral tradition. I'm sure that was done in some respect, but we really see, especially in God's Word, every time that Israel had a new king, that the king would have to copy his own set. The preservation of that with Ezra and the like, of returning to the land. So even when Israel is cast out, they still have access and laid up the books in the temple and carried over to the second temple with Jesus. And you have the Greek version of that and the Septuagint, which is what Jesus and the disciples would have used for their time period. So again, continue the tradition. It's not a new thing. Mm. So the simplest way to put it is to say that the Bible is a collection of divinely inspired prophecies, words from God. So it's not just I've seen the future and I'm telling you about it. Prophecy is this collection of God speaking.
Yeah, good.
So another key element to the Christian worldview is the conviction that God speaks. But what does God say?
Okay, so he does speak. Right. All right, so great. Right. Does he push his foot down and say, go faster?
He's like, okay, the sun is this far away from the earth, or does he communicate other things?
Right.
So the brief answer is that God speaks to us about three major topics. So here are the three.
Three topics.
So he speaks about who he is and how he interacts with his creation. He has to reveal himself to us, okay?
Yeah, this is who he is, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't know, right? Yeah.
So again, going back to the idea that it's a God-centered religion. God speaks about us, what he made us to be and to do, and what we actually have done and become. And so that, of course, affects how we think and do and what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And then God speaks about salvation, what he has done and will do to get us out of the mess we've made for ourselves. Mm. And that brings us directly to the next major element of the Christian worldview.
Yeah. And that element, of course, is salvation.
Right.
God saves, right?